troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to Sound Doctrine. This is Chris Ardern, your host. We can be found at www.sounddoctrine.org. Sound Doctrine is spelled with one D. And I want to welcome everybody back to the show. It's been very interesting. The way the Lord is just so amazing, so faithful to reveal Himself to those who truly seek Him. And there are some exciting things happening that I'm observing in this crazy world that we're a part of today. It's just crazy the way the religious community is just buzzing with all kinds of things. You know, honestly, every wind of doctrine. I mean, we're at the point now where, you know, even you're seeing even into the mainstream media things that are, you wouldn't even have believed it, you know, even a year ago. But, the awareness that is out there as far as people know something's wrong. People do know that there's something evil afoot, as this, you know, prosperity-minded culture that we've all grown up in and have become so accustomed to and so entitled, you know, this sense of entitlement that we all have, you know, coming out of our national pride and all that stuff that's been ingrained in us since we were kids, as all that stuff is being, you know, challenged now, and, you know, we're all at different levels of awareness, awakening, you know, coming to the, you know, understanding that pretty much everything we put our hope and trust in has been a fraud, really. You know, our faith in our country, our founding fathers, our church, it's all not what we thought. But that's okay, because, you know, the ones that are coming to that conclusion, I mean, this is the way the Lord's designed it. You know, we're not supposed to put our trust in this world. And we're not supposed to have our treasures, you know, built up here on earth. And, you know, we all have read those scriptures and reconciled them in our mind. However, I know how I used to do it. I used to say, well, that was, you know, written to the people at Jesus' time. But, you know, things are different now because, hallelujah, we're washed in the blood, and, you know, all the false hope that's been instilled in us from the corporate church system, you know, in our thinking, really, truly mind control. You know, Satan knew where to go, and he has certainly, you know, accomplished a major part of his work, all for the Lord's purpose, by the way. But he's accomplished it through the infiltration of his of the corporate church system. You know, Catholic, Protestant, alike, everything that is basically called Christianity, you know, has gone bad out there, and it's not a matter of you know, finding a good church or not my church or fixing the problems. You know, it's a matter of coming to the realization that it's not just a little. There's not just a couple glitches in the church. It's gone. You know, it's just completely leavened with false doctrine. And when you get your nose into Scripture and really look to the Lord for answers, you find out that it's exactly the way He said it was going to be. And that at the time before His second coming, the religious system will be basically the same exact condition it was at the time of His first visitation, where the religious system, the people who should have known the Messiah when He came, were the ones, the very ones overseeing His torture and execution. You know, just amazing irony that is the pattern in the Lord's work. The way the Lord has chosen to do things, as it says in Habakkuk, I will do a work in your day that if told you, you wouldn't believe it. And this is our Lord. His wisdom is just so far beyond our own understanding. And as we see, you know, scholars and theologians and with degrees in divinity and whatever try to understand the Scripture, they can't, you know, because the Lord hides it, you know, from the wise and reveals it to the prudent. And it's His amazing the way that He has written the Scripture in a way that He can mask it from those who He chooses, and He can reveal it to those who He chooses. And you find out that His basically His requirements are, you know, meekness and humility and submission and all the opposite things that this world has ingrained in us, as far as since we were children, taught that anyone can be president and anyone can be an astronaut, and to strive and to you know, claw our way to the top, which is the message that has been instilled in us since our youth, which is the antithesis of the Lord's plan. You know, that Jesus came to give us rest. And I've been, just revisiting some scripture that, just with, as understanding continues to come out, you know, it's just such an amazing thing that goes on in Scripture, and in the way that this word has been veiled to us for so long. And now, with the way the Lord has opened up the metaphoric understanding in so many areas, and just the simple truth, the repetitive theme that's going on in Scripture, and I've just been kind of combing back over my favorite book, you know, the Book of Revelation. Why is it my favorite? Well, probably a lot of it has to do with all the years of curiosity. You know, wondering what was it saying. You know, what does this mean? So cryptically written, but once you just get it, once you pick up on what's going on and what the Lord's saying, and you have a basic understanding of the metaphors, you know, the book just explodes. You know, and it has for me, and I just. I get focused on one area, and then I just have to take a deep breath and step back a little bit and get a little wider perspective, kind of things. And I've just been doing that, and it's just been so neat. Again, I just found this verse in Revelation 14. I had never really caught it before because it just grabbed me now. And, I've probably read it 1,500 times. But, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And it's like there's some deep metaphor going on there. And it's just the way that, God's people rest from their labors and their works follow that rest. I mean, it's not what we think. I mean, we're still called to, do the Lord's work. Be ever, ready to give an account of the hope that's within us and all that. But it's like, we're not the ones doing the work. The Lord is. Our work follows our rest. It's very cryptic what the Lord's saying there, but I get it. I get what that's saying, and it's just wonderful because our life of serving the Lord is not a life of striving for the next thing and the next stimulation, the next rush, whatever. It's so restful to be free of that. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I mean, this is freedom to me, to know that I can just meditate on the Lord and be in His rest while I'm still busy. I mean, I work, and I'm 55 years old, and I get sore and tired, and it's not the kind of rest. But when I just stop, I'm in the Lord's rest, and it's because I don't need another thing to make me happy. I don't need another song or another toy or another whatever. And it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. And with that, I'm just going to go over my notes from the last couple weeks and just work through them a little bit here to just prepare for where the Lord's taken me, my understanding, and then my understanding, I have the job to turn it into teaching, which is honestly getting more and more difficult as far as putting this spiritual understanding into words in a concise manner. I've shared that many times, how I struggle with that aspect of this, as far as right now I've got so many notes here on this. Really, I've titled this study The Second Death, because I've been studying the second death. There was a interaction going on Facebook, which, yes, I'm very much still involved with Facebook. I come and go, and at times I do engage some of the threads there. And I just got done with a heated one with a friend named Robert, who was just locking horns with me, and I didn't quite understand what was really going on, but I just sought the Lord, and I just I just did what I knew, and I just presented truth, I tried to avoid the argument or the need to win an argument type thing, because it's not about that. But I just put out what I was getting, and then in turn, the discussion was concerning the first resurrection and the second death, and this fellow was just adamant that this was the physical resurrection, and it was just very interesting the way it progressed. And honestly, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And it was certainly going on here, because this argument really was what it turned into. I ended up kind of volleying an argument back and forth there for a little while, just when I got to the point where I just wanted to shake him, you know. And but it was great, because it took me into this level of Revelation chapter 20 I'd never been before. And I'm going to, you know, get into that tonight. And it's going to be kind of the theme of the studies now for however many shows it'll take to get all this out. But there's something very interesting going on there in Revelation chapter 20. Wow. And that's where we're heading with this show. And, you know, I just had a kind of share from my heart here where I've been at the last couple weeks, and what I believe is ahead for us, for the remnant body of Christ. I believe that he truly is gathering his elect from the four winds. And, you know, we see the pattern in Scripture that the beasts rise up at the end. And it's the four beasts. You know, it's the three that combine into the diverse fourth beast. You know, and this beast is everywhere. You know, you see him in, or it, I should say. Because it's not a he, it's a system. You know, it's this flesh-minded, earth system and all its aspects. You know, the collective body of flesh-minded people, the earth dwellers, them that dwell on the earth, as opposed to those who are redeemed from the earth. But we see this beast system that shows up, you know, in the end, for the purpose of judgment. You know, it's for God's judgment. And the beast scatters the people. You know, it scatters the flock. And it's interesting, because I did a little word study on the word scattered. You know, and I came to realize that the word scattered is referencing the same thing as like dash, break into pieces. You know, it's the same, ground to powder. It's all the same idea. So when scattered, I will smite the shepherd, and scatter the sheep abroad. And this is where we are now, and I as far as like to put understanding to scattered, I use one word, and that's the denominations. I mean, I think that all the denominations that have basically come on the scene over the last 200 years is the Lord scattering his flock, because this is where we are. You know, we're under judgment, and this is what happens when the beast comes together, And we see the signatures of the lion, the bear, and the leopard, the white horse, red horse, black horse, and then those combine into the pale horse, into the diverse fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. And we see it in Zechariah, the four carpenters, which is an interesting metaphor going on there. We'll get into that. It's all the same thing. It's all the time when this flesh, man's system, comes together, which is truly where we are now, where for the purpose of judgment, that beast scatters the people, And that's what's happened. But there's also good news, because when you continue on, you realize that I will gather my elect from the four winds. So, this scattering is a process that the Lord uses for his purpose to separate his flock, to know who are his, because he does gather then. He gathers his elect from the four winds. And that gathering is happening. It's underway. I was hopeful a year ago, and always looking. And that's what I do, is I look and I watch and I see signs of the gathering taking place, and I'm absolutely convinced that this gathering is underway. And this gathering is a matter of the Lord binding his people together with the truth. It's the walls of New Jerusalem being built. This is the problem now. There's just so much. so much metaphor goes on here with, you know, what's taking place as far as we've got the two witnesses who are the royal priesthood, the type and shadow of Joshua and Zerubbabel, building the temple, building the wall, rebuilding the wall. How will we know the sign of your coming? Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. What did he say in the verse before? Not one stone will be left upon another. There won't be one stone that won't be torn down. You know, this is talking about the scattering. Those walls of those stones in the walls of the temple are torn down because this is what the Lord is doing. He is rebuilding his house that and purging it of all that is man, all that is man-made. And you know, Joshua and Zerubbabel built the temple not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. And we see I'm just absolutely blown away by what the Lord's showing me more in as far as Daniel, the 70 weeks of Daniel. And I'm going to, you know, keep going there and attempting to share what he's showing me. But what a great beacon, or a great a landmark, a starting point. We can, you know, the Daniel 70 weeks portion of Scripture is, because it's the whole story. It tells the whole story right there in four verses. And so I keep going back to it as kind of a home base, I guess you would call it. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Okay, well, so what's the wall? You know, the wall is being rebuilt. Now, this scripture is a dual fulfillment. You know, this thing was about, the first coming, as this whole thing played out physically. Now, at the end of the age, it's playing out again. And we see where, the two witnesses, which is the church, is rebuilding Jerusalem in troublous times. You know, this is what's taking place right now. The wall, the street. And what's the wall? Well, the wall is the rebuilding of the unwalled villages. I mean, it talks about in Ezekiel 38, which is where we are. We are in the Gog-Magog war right now. And they shall say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Okay, this is all part of this process, deeply ingrained in this scripture metaphorically. So what's a land of unwalled villages? And what's this wall that is being rebuilt in Daniel chapter 9? Well, Proverbs 25:28 says, He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Okay, you see that? You see the metaphor going on here? You know, this is what's happening. Take heed that no man deceive you. Jesus told us that at the Olivet Discourse. And you see this temple. Well, this, not one stone will be left upon another. And this is all pictures of what's happening today in the church. That this church has become a flesh body. The beast church, the woman riding the beast, and it's a land of unwalled villages. It's a place where we have no rule over our spirit, and this is what the Lord is reconciling, as he has torn it down, scattered it abroad, but he's also bringing it back together his way. And the common denominator with the rebuilding of the temple, which is the body, which is New Jerusalem, which is the bride. This is the Lord preparing his bride. And they have no rule over their spirit. What does that do? Well, then that leads to deception, because the Holy Spirit, contrary to what's taught in the harlot church, is not signs and wonders, healing, slain in the spirit. All these things that we equate the Holy Spirit today with is not what the Holy Spirit is about. The Holy Spirit is about truth. The Holy Spirit is about understanding, unity, gathering his elect from the four winds, and this is what the Lord is doing. He is gathering his elect from the four winds. All those who worship him in spirit and in truth. This is what's taking place right now. And it's happening right here on this crazy internet. I mean, who would have ever thought this? This is how this thing was going to end up. You know, 1998, I didn't even know how to work a computer. And, you know, next thing you know, we've got the internet. And at the time, the least thing I was interested in was anything Christianity. I was immersed in my own world of striving and, you know, set on success and, you know, all that stuff. And, but, you know, lo and behold, you know, as this whole falling away progressed and it became more and more obvious to me that something was wrong, or that I knew something was wrong, but I didn't realize that it was more than just a little messed up. It was pretty much broken beyond repair. And as that, you know, came clear to me, the Lord opened that up to me, to the point where he made it clear that we are not supposed to fix this thing. We're supposed to come out. You know, we're supposed to separate ourselves from this corrupt harlot religious system. But as this you know, thing has been you know, unveiling itself to me, I'm coming to realize what a key thing that this internet and this you know, what a key aspect to the Lord the Lord's regathering this internet is playing. And you know, it's just amazing. And as I'm watching things, and I try to just stay sensitive to what the Lord is doing, and looking for signs out there of people waking up. Now, I'm talking about really waking up as far as really getting what's taking place now, not just you know, the fixation on the catastrophics. You know, so much of the Christian community is you know, obsessed with the earthquakes and you know, all that stuff, all that outward stuff. But you know, and all at the same time, in my studies, I realize that this stuff goes way deeper than all that, and it's you know, the spiritual dimension is what really matters. And I'm seeing the Lord working, and I'm seeing people getting it, getting the deeper levels of understanding that are there in Scripture. And I'm telling you what, that is very, very exciting. And it's underway right now. And with that, I'm going to have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll pick it up where we left off. Stay tuned.